Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John with another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details of that will be at offbeatoregon.com, so do check that out when you get a chance. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the exploding whale. Yes, it really did happen. An inexperienced highway engineer who guessed wrong about how much dynamite would be needed to rid the beach of 8 tons of rotting whale carcass, and the results were expensive and stinky. The story is a bit of an Oregon legend. This story was first published on July 2nd, 2009, although actually I wrote it almost an entire year before that. This is one of the stories that I wrote as a demonstration piece to pitch the column in mid-2008. Here we go. On Thursday, November 12th, 1970, an event happened that put the town of Florence on the map. A highway engineer, faced with the need to dispose of an 8-ton whale carcass which had washed up on the beach, tried to vaporize it with a half-ton of dynamite, with results that most people who knew about dynamite could have predicted. And did. Walt Umenhofer sure saw it coming. He was a businessman who happened to be in town with his brand new car, an Oldsmobile 88 Regency, which he later told Springfield News reporter Ben Raymond Lode that he'd bought days earlier at Dunham Oldsmobile in Eugene during a promotion taglined, "No, really, I'm not kidding, this is true, get a whale of a deal on a new Oldsmobile." Umenhofer had received explosives training during his World War II service, and what he saw on the beach that day made him very, very nervous. He knew project manager George Thornton was not going to get the results he wanted. He either needed a lot less dynamite so that the whale would just be pushed out to sea, or a whole lot more so that it would be torn into tiny pieces. Umenhofer told the Springfield paper he tried to warn Thornton, but was blown off. Umenhofer shrugged and made a note to himself to be as far away from the whale as possible when it went off. Quote, "But the guy says, anyway, I'm going to have everyone on the top of those dunes, far away," Umenhofer told reporter Wayne Friedman of San Francisco TV station KGO in an interview 25 years later. "I says, yeah, I'm going to be the farthest SOB down that way." And so he was, but he couldn't know how personally Thornton's mistake would end up affecting him. The story was covered for KATU Channel 2, one of the Portland TV stations, by Paul Lindman, then a fresh-faced young fellow in his mid-20s. As one would expect, given his young age, Lindman made a minor error when reporting the story, assuming that it was a California gray whale when it was actually a sperm whale, but in his book he more than makes up for it with one line, which you'll find on page 77. Quote, "Explosions in the movies usually look like a blast of fire and smoke. This one more resembled a mighty burst of tomato juice." A mighty burst of tomato juice. Now that's painting a picture with words. I do hope you've already had lunch. If you search for exploding whale on Google, you'll find Lindman's story, about 2.5 minutes long. You'll see the whole thing, from the guys packing boxes of dynamite to the impressive explosion and the less impressive aftermath. You'll get to hear George Thornton say, this is a direct quote, "Well, I'm confident that it'll work. The only thing is we're not sure how much explosives it'll take to disintegrate this thing." You'll also get to hear the people on the beach watching the blast. Yells of excitement turning to disgust. Dull thumping sounds and a woman saying, "Okay, Fred, you can take your hands out of your ears now. Here come pieces of, oh my." You'll also get to see Walt Umenhofer. Remember him? Guy who warned Thornton about this plan? Walt appears about 2 minutes into the video standing next to his brand new Oldsmobile. Its passenger compartment had been flattened by a chunk of flying blubber the size of a small truck tire. Lindman's story was of course snatched up by the network and played all over the country. 50-year-old retired Army ordnance guys all over the nation who had learned how to blow stuff up during World War II wondered what the heck Thornton was thinking. 20 50-pound cases of dynamite sound like a lot, but in the context of 8 tons of untamped rotting meat, they dwindled to insignificance, and Thornton actually said, on camera, to Lindman, that he didn't know how much dynamite he should be using. With the benefit of hindsight, it's pretty easy to wonder why he didn't pull someone who knew explosives into the project, even if that someone was a know-it-all stranger with a brand new Olds parked 450 feet away. A stranger like Walt Umenhofer, who got well away from the blast site himself, but neglected to collect his car first. Umenhofer, who still lives in Springfield, now owns and operates the Baron's Den, a gun store and indoor shooting range just south of Eugene, visible from Interstate 5. It usually sports a bright blue banner reading, "Shoot a Real Tommy Gun." He tries to avoid talking about the exploding whale, mostly because he's sick of telling the story. In any event, the exploding whale, with the help of syndicated humor columnist Dave Barry, who had great fun with it, has become part of our entire nation's pop culture and has been mistaken for an urban legend many times. Many Florence residents were not pleased. They felt this was the wrong way to get one's hometown on the map. But today, almost 40 years later, even the crankiest among them chuckle about it, sometimes a bit wistfully. But not George Thornton, who, by the way, was promoted to the Medford office 6 months later. A cynical observer might characterize this as being kicked upstairs. On the day of the blast, he told reporter Larry Bacon of the Eugene Register Guard, "It went just exactly right, except the blast funneled a hole in the sand under the whale," thereby apparently causing some of the whale bits to be blown back toward the parking lot, he went on to say. Decades later, Thornton was still defiantly sanguine about the whole operation. Contacted by Lindman in the mid-1990s, he refused to be interviewed on camera and seemed to feel that the news coverage of the event had converted a successful exercise into a disaster. The conversation ended on a sourish note when Lindman asked Thornton if he didn't want to tell the public about it, what had gone wrong that day. Quote, "What do you mean, what went wrong?" he asked Lindman tersely, apparently by way of implying that nothing had. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, which is a complete catalog of about 205 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources from this story, which include Paul Lindman's book, plus the Springfield News archives and also the Eugene Register Guard's archives from November 13th, 1970. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band. AtlasStringBand.com was written by Carmen Ficarra. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. That's it for today, and coming up tomorrow, we'll have one of the first articles I ever wrote about the Shanghaiing scene in Portland around the turn of the last century. I've written and studied a lot about the subject since then, and yes, I did have to go back and do some updating to my original story. But it's kind of an overview of the situation as it existed on the Portland waterfront in about 1895, when you had to be really careful where you went to drink and who you chose to drink with, if you just happened to be inclined to go have yourself a beer. Look for that story after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.